how big does something have to be spectacular? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the
Thought for Today.
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 Food for today. Swallow your words. Eat your words. Thought for today. Now, and indeed it is. You know, I had a girlfriend when I was in elementary and high school, and her name was Patsy Means, M-E-A-N-S. And she was a nice girl, really a fun girl. She lived just three houses from me, and she would come down the street and then go up the street with me to go to school. Well, after doing that for a number of years, we became acquainted. I never had her over to my house for dinner. I never had her in my social circle at home. But we would go out together. We would go to dances, we would go to the theater, we'd go to movies and do this thing, but I never had her at my home, and I never was at her home. I was at her home, but invited by her brother. And so, and she may have been at my home too, invited by my sisters, but I don't know that. I don't think so, because my sisters had nothing to do with people that I knew. They had their own friends, their own community. Well, anyhow, Patsy Means. And short, she came up to my breast. Not even my chin, like my wife did, but up to my breast. And I'd always kid her. I said, "You're a little shrimp. You're a little runt," you know. And of course, you know how kids do when they're trying to be nice to each other. They say sweet nothings, you know. And those were sweet nothings because they weren't meant to be offensive. They were just meant to be tickling and kidding and fooling around. And so Patsy Means always came up with the same response. Wonderful things come in small packages. You know, good things, you've heard that. Good things come in small packages. And I said, "Patsy, that's not true." I said, "The best things come in not packages, but in tiny things. And you know what the best thing is, Patsy?" And she says, "No, tell me, tell me." And I said, "You." And she says, "Oh, you know," you know. And I didn't know what buttons I was pushing, perhaps, or I did, but we had a good time. And so I said, "You know, Patsy, you are the most precious little thing that I have ever known." I said, "You are the diamond in my life. And the diamond is the most precious thing I can think of as anything, you know. Yeah, diamonds, money, wealth, you know, that sort of stuff." And so we always were good friends, and she was always my diamond. And whenever I needed someone to go someplace, because I couldn't get anybody else, I'd call on her, and we'd go. And she danced okay, but she didn't have rhythm. And I had rhythm, and so I had to carry her virtually. And she was small enough I could do that. And I could lift her in my arms and hold her tight and let her legs fly out from left to right. And it was just really a beautiful experience. Well, we're looking at my Olympus here, which is a digital voice recorder, WS320M. And it is really quite a marvelous little gadget here. And I look at there, and I see left and right. And then on the left is a little microphone, and on the right is a little microphone to give it stereo effect. And, of course, it only has a mono earphone. It doesn't have a stereo type earphone, but whatever. So here we have this little tiny thing. It's no bigger than a piece of sand, you might say. And it probably is sand, silicon, because microphones are made out of silicon. So This little piece of sand is recording my voice. Well, now, over the years, I've had many microphones. I've been on television and radio and taking television workshop and radio training at Marquette University and learning how to do all those wonderful things. And we had big old microphones, big old canisters, like a can of soup, you know, and everything else. And big. And you had to speak into it carefully, you know, and you every get close to it, you know, and do all the things. Well, here, you don't have to play that game. You just be perfectly natural, and the microphone picks up everything perfectly natural. That teensy-weensy little nothing. Now, the microphone is tiny. Get the message? Mm-hmm. The microphone is tiny. Now, how tiny must the wire be going from the microphone to wherever it's going to go to put whatever I'm saying onto a flash chip, you know? And then how does that flash chip work? And how is the little instruments, the little soldered pieces in there go? And then, you see, here we have this magnificent little gadget. And what does it say in the back here? It says it's made in China. Yeah, made in China. So here we have a third world country, China, with all of their limitations and all of their unsophistication. And you take these people and you say, do this, do this, do this, do this, and they do it, and they come up with it. And they come up with hundreds of these things, millions of these things, and they spread them all over the world, and they get dropped, and they get lifted, and they get thrown, and they get talked to, and, you know, handled roughly, and against your heart, you know, hot, and then out in the cold, and yet they always work. And these Chinese, who did not have the savvy, the sophistication to create it, had the sophistication to put it together. Now, that's a great sophistication in itself. And tiny, tiny, tiny. And so they had to use magnifying glasses to put these things together. Now, these are all basically hand performed. Well, the Chinese thought that was great. But they had to pay 10 cents an hour for the Chinamen to work on these things in the factory. And so the creative beings who run industry and make money, they said, hey, we're paying 10 cents an hour, and in an hour they can maybe do three of these units. Now, let's make a machine. Let's make a machine and go and just pop these things all together and make them all so perfect. Because everything comes in a little format, you know, everything comes in a little piece that just joins to another piece. And so then the Chinese, who are third world, unsophisticated country, are designing these sophisticated gadgets that put together the genius of somebody else. Now, they don't care who owns the project. They just have a contract to put them together. Mm-hmm. And so the better that they can put them together, the better, the more profit they make. And so now, what's happening to that silly country, China? It's now becoming one of the leading economic forces of the world. And the people are not only not third world anymore, they are now top of the line. They're the most educated, the most beautifully cultured people, and they are doing all the stupid, silly things that everybody else in the world is doing, going out and buying Rolls Royces and big houses and have locked communities in which the children play on the street and there's no cars buzzing by. And they have just beautiful, just really amazing. Now, all because of a teensy-weensy little tiny, tiny piece of silica that is made into a microphone now. And the microphone is so precise. It is so perfect. It picks up the wind that you hear now going by. And it picks up my voice coming in clearly. And it does all these beautiful things. Now, the silly thing is that everything begets something else. And if you have a problem, not really a problem, if you have a possibility of making more money, the old 10,000 stem cells that join your brain every single day waiting for you to use them are saying, well, Dad, what do you want to do today? And I said, well, I'm going to take a nap. You guys go play. And they go play, doing nothing. But before you take your nap, you say, all righty, think of some beautiful genius idea that'll make me a multi-billionaire, you know, and let's expedite it. And they say, okay, you take your nap, we'll take care of that. And so what do? They open up in you the reservoir of the universal knowledge, the universal awareness, that which already exists, but it hasn't been revealed. But it already exists as a reality, but you want to reveal it. And so then you wake up from your nap, oh, I feel so good. Oh. And then the stem cells come around. Hey, Dad, you ready? Just let me have my cup of coffee. But Dad, we got to get going on this, you know. Dad, for every second that goes by, we're losing, not losing, but we're not generating the $1 million that we can be generating. Ho, ho, ho. And so we get with it. And we say, okay, stem cell, what should we do? And the stem cells tell you. And you say, oh, come on now, a little piece of silicon, tiny like that, and use it for a microphone? Hey, Dad, what do you think makes up the chips in the flash drive? What do you think makes up the stuff that they're doing? And hey, Dad, did you look at the Popular Science magazine? The Popular Science magazine has a three-pager on the new battery, on the new batteries. And the new batteries are getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and more and more and more powerful. The new batteries are not only lasting for hours, now they're lasting for days, now they're lasting for months. And they have a new battery in the Logitech, in the Logitech keyboard. You know how Logitech keyboard is you have on for your computer? Well, they have a new battery in the Logitech keyboard. It's coming out. It's $100 for the keyboard. And it lasts for 2.5 years.
Wow.
2.5 years, the battery in the keyboard. And that's presuming that you're using your keyboard regularly. 2.5 years.
That's
pretty good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that's quite marvelous. I have a battery, two batteries that I put in my keyboard, a little Apple keyboard that I had, and then I shoved it away in a closet and forgot about it. And that was about 2.5 years ago. And I just turned it on now, and we're still running just fine.
Mm.
You know, still running just fine. And makes you think to yourself, there's a lot more magic going on than we don't. Now, how many of you know about Hubble? Well, yes, what do you know about it?
Well, I know that it's a telescope, the biggest telescope.
I'm not really thinking of that. I'm talking about the hub, the satellite in the sky.
Oh, okay.
What's the name of that? It's the one of the first satellites which went up. I thought it was Hubble.
I think that is something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
I remember exactly what
but it is. It's out there. Okay. When did it go out there?
Years ago.
10, 20 years ago. A long time. And it goes on and off. But it's still sending back images. And the batteries that they put into it at that time were so unsophisticated compared to today. You know, today's batteries are so much further refined. But those batteries are still sending back information from Saturn and Mars and other places that it goes to. It's utterly amazing. And they're still saying, and beautiful pictures of the surface of the planet. How magical and how marvelous. Yeah. Now, you think they're going to be able to send one up to the sun and take some pictures of it close up?
Sure.
And not have it be fried?
Sure.
And you know why it won't be fried?
Because the sun is not hot.
Also, but because it is made out of unfriable material.
Okay.
know, I mean, why not? Why fight it? Make it something unfriable.
Really?
You know? It doesn't have to be something subject to heat or subject to cold, as most of our things are right now. But that's, we're only subject to heat and cold because that's the way we think. That's the way we manufacture. But, you see, these 10,000 stem cells are coming up with, oh, they're opening the pages of the book of the universal wisdom and knowledge. And do you have the ability to perceive what you're looking at? You know? You look at this magical, mystical information that the world hasn't yet been revealed to the world. And it's there. But are you ready? Are you like a Leonardo da Vinci? And designing a diving bell before there was even a way to get air down to the bell, designing a submarine going under the water and going just before there was even an engine to go into the submarine, or a helicopter before there was even an engine to lift off the helicopter to give it power, you know, even before the bicycle pedals, even that idea to make the helicopter rotor go around. In the 1900s, 20th century, they were still using bike pedal to pedal their airplane propeller. Mm-hmm. And they're still doing that. They're still doing that as they're doing things with bike pedaling and human power. But now, they're doing even greater things. They're using thought power. And more and more we're learning about it. The power of thought and how marvelous it is and what magic it does and how infinite it can be, reaching everywhere in the universe as we wish it. And we're awakening to it. We don't want to believe it because the minute we start believing it, we have to get rid of a bunch of our old parameters, some of our old thinking. And when we have to get rid of our old thinking, that's not something that we like to do. We don't like to get rid of our old thinking. I don't like to get rid of the old thought of Patsy Means, you know, and the two of us walking to school together, and me carrying her books and all that sort of stuff, and doing all the things that, you know, you're supposed to do. But the thing is, they're happy little thoughts, but they're limiting thoughts. Now, if I were really a nice guy, I would have put my arm around Patsy and I would say, Patsy, you are an absolute genius. You are the most brilliant girl in the universe. You are supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And she would be that. Because when I was in school, I was very blessed to associate with most of the geniuses, and they didn't feel they had any competition with me, but they didn't realize that I was just enjoying them for who they were, and I didn't have to show off. And they had to show off. And they had to show me what a genius they were and how wonderful they were. And I, can you imagine? My one friend especially, his name was Jeffrey Etherington. Now, what are his initials? GE. General Electric. You know? And so he says, I'm GE. I'm General Electric. I'm Jeffrey Etherington. I'm the genius. And he's a multimillionaire today. He probably doesn't even remember me, because I don't pay attention to him either. But most of these guys, they all went on to become great wealthy people because they believed in themselves. They believed that they were geniuses, and they were. And they were fantastic. And this little teensy-weensy thing that we have for our microphone, this little teensy-weensy recorder here, which is, what, maybe a quarter of an inch wide by 3 inches and by an inch, you know? It's a tiny little thing. It weighs nothing. It has a 3 AAA battery in it, and it will record for 20 hours. Fantastic. Utterly amazing. Now, where did the idea come from? It came from some simple little thought, moving into bigger thoughts, moving into bigger thoughts, opening up the universal storehouse of wisdom and knowledge, and somebody's taking advantage of it. No, why not you? Why not us right now today? And enjoy it. I know that
That I know the divine in me is the answer.
You'd hold him.
I know the divine in me is the answer.
I believe they got it. Have a lovely morning, and let the little things in life make you wealthy too. I love you. I love you.
I love you.